Hello, my name is Michelle Kramer Fitzgerald, and I'm your guest host here on Delaware State of the Arts, here on 1450 WILM and 1410 WDOV. I have with me today Dan Gallery and Brent Edmondson, who, along with John Lilly, who's not with us today, make up JBD Music Works. So welcome, guys.
Thanks. Hey, Michelle. Thanks for having us.
Thanks. So for people who may not know, give us a brief overview of JBD Music Works and what brought the three of you together to create music.
All right. Well, JBD Music Works is, the three of us. We started together working with John Lilly of the Hooters, kind of individually on an individual basis. I was taking some lessons from John. Brent was working with John on some recording and some engineering stuff. And then one day we all three of us got together in John's studio and we started making music together. We did a little, what we call a little trailer piece that was kind of for like a newsreel. And we worked on that and we were able to basically get it done and out the door within an hour's time frame. And I think it was based on that, the three of us really clicked together. We each bring different strengths to JBD Music Works. And, I think with each of our strengths, we're able to play off of each other really well. I like doing composing and keyboards. Brent does a lot of the work with engineering, as well as a wonderful composer. And John, with his years of experience of traveling and his musical ear, I think just the three of us has really clicked. And, since we started, we were able to work on numerous projects. Like one of them is we were working on a film score. We've done a couple documentaries. And probably the most recent thing that we're excited about is we did our world premiere of a piece that we called Flamingos, which, we wrote for orchestra and was actually performed by the Wilmington Community Orchestra. That's our latest thing that we did that, we're kind of most proud of at the moment. So.
Yeah, I think one of the great synergies that happens, John Lilly, speaking about him in absentia, is an excellent guitarist and, has sort of a jazz background. I'm a classical double bass player, a member of the Delaware Symphony, the Lancaster Symphony. And Dan is not only a phenomenal composer, but also an excellent keyboard player and a wind player. And we have enough of the raw materials to actually play things live together and put together pieces that way. But we also have enough of the computer know-how and understanding of using the tools of programs like Pro Tools or other, modern composing software to be able to create music in a lot of different genres, whether it's something that would be recognizable as classical music or orchestral music or, blues, Americana type things, or even we've even done some kind of klezmer, gypsy jazz music. And it all kind of flows very naturally out of the individual skills and just the little bits of knowledge that each of us brings to it.
I thought that was one of the things that really struck me was the three of you together are like this perfect trifecta of all of these genres of music. So you have all these experiences that come together to create something probably incredibly new in some senses, right? Like you're doing film scores and documentaries and things like that, but you can create your whole new brand of music with all of the vast experiences that the three of you bring. And I think that's really interesting. And I wanted to ask you, Dan, you did mention Flamingos, which congratulations on that world premiere, guys. That's really great. Can you talk a little bit about Flamingos and, what was the impetus for the creation of that? I think it came from an artist, and I wanted to talk a little bit about the synergy of music and art. So do you want to tell me about that?
Yeah, I mean, it started with, so Caroline Zimmerman is the artist. She's, world renowned painter. She just does really beautiful work. And we've worked with her on a couple other documentaries, that she has. And then we had a conversation with her and she said, oh, well, my next project is I want to paint flamingos. So that started with, she was in France and she came upon this you know, these flamingos at this lake. And she was like, I have to paint these. I have to paint these. And then during the call, when she said she was going to do that, you know, my mind just started racing. Like, how would you paint flamingo? How do you translate, you know, an artwork and flamingos, you know, to the stage, to an orchestra? How would that sound? Thinking of everything from, you know, their, you know, depicting their fast movements of their heads and how they walk, and then their very distinctive squawking sound. And then ultimately, you know, how would you paint the musical picture of them flying and soaring and wanting to be able to capture that beauty and elegance that they had? And we started, you know, composing, and I did the original score to that. It took some time to kind of like think that through, you know, like, how do we get this? And, you know, a couple rewrites, but then, you know, came up with the bass, you know, song, you know, shared it with Caroline to see if that was the direction she wanted us to go. And she just loved it. And then from, you know, from that point forward, we just started working, and I was working with Brent on building out the orchestration, because he has, with all of his you know, experiences in playing with orchestras, he's like, oh, well, we could have the strings do this, or, you know, the flutes do this. And, you know, so that's, you know, that's, and then we published that, and that was in the documentary. But that was a piece that we liked so much. And me as the composer was like, how do I get this to stage? How do I get this to say, how do I get this performed publicly? And it was then that by chance I wrote Joe Hodge an email, and I said, hey, you know, would you be interested in doing a piece of flamingos? We sent him the score and he loved it. And he came back and he said, this would be perfect. So we were just thrilled with that. As we were scoring it out, and doing all that work, we got by chance the ability to record this at a live orchestra studio recording in Prague. So we got the Prague Philharmonic to actually play the piece. So we rented an hour of their studio time and sent them the music. We were working with somebody else over there, Joe Benjamin, we got the studio recording of it. That was kind of like our test run to make sure that, hey, how will this sound once it finally hits the stage? And then from that point, then we shared the music with Joe, and then, you know, it was just recently performed. And that's kind of, I don't know, Brent, if there's anything else that you want to add to it. That's kind of the journey of the flamingos along the way.
One of the incredible things about this whole project has been that our initial contact and initial formulation of the piece took place late summer 2021. And I think it was August the piece was written, and September and October were the process of orchestrating the piece, which is to say, taking it from what it is in the computer, samples and MIDI, which are theoretical things that you can, you know, spend hours and hours just getting just so, and then taking all that intentionality and packaging that up into something that musicians could actually play and read. And we were recording this piece by the end of October, and then we were getting the piece mixed and, you know, getting that studio recording ready to become a commercial recording by early December, and then the premiere of the piece was in March 2022. So normally the road that these things take is much, much longer, and there's a lot longer gestational period just to write the music itself. And we're really blessed that Dan is very prolific, and once the idea is clear, it manifests so very quickly that it gave us the time to put everything in its right place and just make sure that everything was just so. And having that studio recording as an additional buffer to make sure some of the high-minded ideas still translate into human beings, and that you could really put this in front of a piccolo player and they can actually play it and not just, you know, sort of hopes and dreams. So it was a very compressed creative period, and, you know, getting this piece premiered within 6 months of it being written, I, you know, might be a land speed record. You know, we'll have to, we're checking with Guinness on that, and we might end up in the book. We'll see.
Another accomplishment for you. I was going to, I'm glad you said that, because I was going to ask you about the gestation period of something like that. It's similar to, you know, putting a play on workshop, right? You change things and you move it from one to the other, but that's a pretty fast track. So congratulations on that. That's really amazing and good for you. Before we go any further, I want to remind all of our listeners that they are listening to Delaware State of the Arts here on 1450 WILM and 1410 WDOV. And today I am talking with Dan Gallery and Brent Edmondson of JBD Music Works. My question that I had in the back of my head for a long time was, do you go out and play things live? Like, will you go out and play something live somewhere? Could we see that? That would be, I'd love to go see you live.
That would be good, fun to do. Just by the nature of what we do, we're not really a live, you know, a live group kind
You're
of thing.
You're not alive.
No. And I always joke, I say, you'll never want to hear me sing or anything like that, you know. I mean, because, you know, most of what we do, you know, is again, like writing for orchestra or, you know, those kind of, you know, those kind of things. So you won't see us live, but you can certainly hear us. You know, so I mean, just to give a quick plug, we did release a EP earlier in the last year. It's called Off the Canvas, and it's available on all streaming services. You can find it if you look for JBD Music Works and Off the Canvas. You'll be able to find it there. And, you know, we will be releasing Flamingos soon as its own solo EP. So you'll be able to get that and then be able to listen to that. So kind of my shameless plug there. So
that's what this is for. You should be plugging that.
Yeah.
Well, I'll say that, you know, John Lilly is not available to be with us today because he's actually in Lake Luzerne, Switzerland right now performing with the Hooters. And John, of course, has this incredible legacy of performing with the Hooters for almost 40 years. And I'm a sort of a freelance bass player. You know, Michelle, you and I met doing a photo shoot for the Delaware Symphony, where That's I'm right. a member of the bass section. And my hat in the JBD world came about because as a freelancer, I was playing constantly. And as much as I enjoy it, and I have some very, very fulfilling gigs that come along, you know, being the eighth bass player in a group and playing, you know, the Messiah every December or something like that, as rewarding as that can be in the moment, you know, it doesn't necessarily leave you with a lot of things that you can point to and say, I did this, or, hey, do you remember that concert? And, you know, maybe you're talking with a musician that recognizes, oh yeah, you were on that concert with me. But I needed something that was sort of, I needed to leave a bigger footprint off stage. And John and Dan came along just at exactly the right time in my life to be that thing. And what I discovered about myself in the time since then is I don't write music very quickly or very prolifically, but when I have somebody that's writing something of quality, I can hear where it's going and what's being insinuated, and I can take it and just do things to it and make it, you know, elevate it and try to make the sound really characteristic or make the, you know, the textures more interesting. And I've been so fortunate to collaborate with Dan, who is, I mean, producing more than a giant piece of music a week. He's just, his output is so great that as much stuff as I could ever wish to put my hands on, it's there waiting for me. You know, as soon as I get off the gig, I can just come home, fire up the computer and start working on the next thing that Dan's created. And that's a part of what makes this whole thing work, is we each do have our own separate sort of station on the battleship, and we all end up sort of producing different elements of the final product. And that's, you know, that's how JBD works. And that's, I think that's what got us through the pandemic, and it's what's going to get us through the next couple of years too.
I think that is the great and interesting thing about the three of you, is all of your experiences come into to fulfill and to sort of fill that gap in your artistic needs, if you will, to create something totally new. So I think that's a really great way to collaborate. You know, I think that's gonna keep you busy for a very long time. So tell me about Off the Canvas. Tell me about the title, and then tell me what that, I'm going to call it a CD because I'm old school. What does that CD sound like?
So Off the Canvas came about because, like I said, we were working with Caroline Zimmerman on several different projects. And most of them were, you know, we built them, you know, using our computers and music libraries, you know, sounding like orchestra or different instruments, unique things. So we put together a number of pieces for her and for some documentaries that we did. And we just said, we got some really good stuff here. Let's put it in an EP and get it out there. So Off the Canvas, and the reason why it's called Off the Canvas is because kind of took that as a play from Caroline and all her painting on canvas. This is the music that came from it off the canvas. So that's kind of how that came about. So most of those pieces on there, you know, represent her, that artwork. I think it also represents kind of our style and how we kind of set, you know, they're a little bit, some of them are a little bit more orchestral. Some of them have, you know, some really nice beat to it and things like that. So that's how that came about. So
in addition to everything being sort of visually inspired, which, you know, in its nature means that there's a lot of narrative in the music. There's a lot of different texture and one of the principles that we sort of work on is trying to blend genres. So, you know, if we have something orchestral, we want to have something in there that's also maybe very electronic or very novel to the orchestral color palette. Or another piece, Moonwater, is it's erhu, which is a Chinese fiddle paired with guitar, but also paired with a synthesizer in some sort of subtle ways. And, you know, that it's the juxtaposition of those different things, different cultural elements, different, I would say, like that piece in particular has a kind of a French flavor to it, which is not a context that you would expect to have an erhu playing in. And so it's, you know, it's about breaking some rules and sort of going against the grain of what, you know, we're resisting categorization deliberately in some ways, because it's more fun to do it that way, to just try to, you know, have a nice big box and try to fit as many different things into it and still have it be something that somebody would want to open at the end of the day. And that challenge is a really fun one for the three of us.
I can't wait to hear this EP. I'm excited to hear it. I'm looking forward to it. So you've done your EP, you've done documentaries, you've done, you know, film scores. What was your favorite thing to do? I know they're all so different, so that's a hard question and that's almost a crazy question to ask, but what was your favorite thing to do? And where are we going to go next?
I see Dan looks very perplexed, so I'll jump in first. so we I'll foreshadow what's coming next in my answer a little bit. You know, part of JBD has been that this has been sort of a pandemic support group for the three of us, and you know, a lot of how this group has come together has been over Zoom particularly, and sort of working remotely on this stuff through Zoom. But like many people, I revisited my love of guitar, and you can see in the edge of my frame here, there's a lot of guitars there that didn't exist in that corner, you know, 2 years ago. And one of the things that we're working on right now is a guitar EP. And naturally, John Lilly, who is a guitarist and a professional one and a very good one, dominates that, you know, that medium, but he's been really, really gracious to give me chances to try to both write on guitar and also play guitar on tracks. For me, that's been really exciting. Like, I picked the bass up originally because I wanted something challenging. I also picked it up for the girls, I'm not gonna lie. I picked up the bass and it was this immense challenge. And over the years, the challenge, the hill got a little bit smaller and easier to climb. And I really liked the idea of guitar as the instrument I actually started with, going back to that well and trying to climb a different hill. and try to do something that's hard in a different way. And I'm really excited about doing some more guitar forward kind of things. And that also frees Dan up to, you know, be an elemental atmospheric person around John and I, sort of doing our guitar wanky thing, you know, self-aggrandizing with strings. So it's that for me has been a really exciting component of the collaboration. How about you, Dan?
I'm still thinking, you know, like, what is my favorite part about it? I think there's just so many components that we've written for. I think I really like the challenge of what we're doing of trying to paint a picture. And I think that's the thing that I most enjoy. I remember when one time years ago when I was starting to take composition, I remember laying underneath a tree going like, I wonder what that sounds like. And then for my recital, one of the pieces I wrote was all of the activity that would go around the tree, whether it's birds and bugs and, you know, rain and, you know, all that stuff. So I think, you know, my thing is I love the challenge that we have of being able to paint a picture. And I think, you know, it's like coming up with that new sound, or how would you depict this, or how would that go? And I think it's just so much fun. So.
Thanks, Ed. I could sit here and talk with you both for another hour, but we're out of time today. So I want to thank you both for being here. Thanks for talking with us. And I am Michelle Kramer Fitzgerald. This has been Delaware State of the Arts. I want to thank Dan Gallery and Brent Edmondson for being here today on 1450 WILM and 1410 WDOV. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you for having us, Michelle.